portions of this show were pre-recorded, so Kevin did make a break for it.
All right. Welcome to the KNS Radio Network, baby. Here on a Thursday morning, Kevin Keith on one of my favorite days. We've talked about it before. Thursday means we're past the hump day and we're almost to finally Friday, which is a great day. But there's something about that Thursday, man. I like getting up early, getting a good jump start on the day, and try to make the day go as fast as I can so we can get to finally Friday, which leads into the weekend, which is usually good news for people, working class folks like us. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for dialing us in. I had all kinds of comments yesterday about my commentary, I guess, about my books and my reading habits and my flea market and my booth at Trader Bucks in Lafayette. Most of it was just funny. People said they enjoyed hearing me just talk about real life stuff and how it was relatable. So I appreciate that, and that's the kind of feedback I'm looking for, because we will bring you interviews, we'll bring you commentary, but sometimes it's cool to just kind of get to know one another, right? And I'm trying to get to know some of you guys, too. So the answer is no, I don't have any way to, quote-unquote, put you on the air live. I've had a lot of people ask, hey, can this be a call-in show? And the fact of the matter is, with technology and stuff, yes, it could be. But there's a lot of moving parts associated with that. And when I am literally, KNS is literally all me, 24/7, 100%, 365 days a year. I get a little help here and there, but that's few and far between. So the day-to-day stuff and the hour-to-hour and the minute-to-minute is me. And I've only got two hands, and there is technology out there. I would also like to get to the point where maybe, you know, we've already got a studio text line and a studio line you could call. I would love to get it to where people could call and just leave a thought or an opinion on something. I would also love to have like a letters to the editor section, which I think I'm going to reach out a little bit more on and post those to the website, knsradionetwork.com. However, the audio portion I was talking about, I think that would be a stretch too far for people to just call, get a recording, and then leave a message, and it be something that is, you know, worth airing. I think it's kind of weird to talk to yourself unless you're a radio person like myself. So maybe we explore that in the future. Maybe I win the lottery or get a lot more sponsors and I can buy the bells and whistles and I can put you all on the air and we'll just do daytime radio all day, all night, 24/7, Kevin. Hey, that kind of sounds catchy, doesn't it? So does herpes though, right? Anyway, we're at Thursday. Bill Gant going to be joining me tomorrow morning on the Finally Friday edition. We missed him the past couple weeks. Scheduling conflicts. We're all busy. We have busy lives. Bill has a family as well. And so we'll be talking to him tomorrow morning, and we'll get Bill's take on a whole host of things and Bill's unique take, we'll say, on a whole host of things. Want to thank our sponsors off the bat. We've got Heather's Flowers, The Oasis Frankfurt, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction in Frankfurt, Probyte Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfurt, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch. Good morning, Alan. Thank you for tuning in. Yesterday, I had a chance to see something late last night, actually, right before I went to bed. And I had to do a double take. I had to go ahead and get online and check it from two or three sources because I thought it was so damn absurd that it was like an early April Fool's joke or someone was trying to pass off satire as actual news, which is which does happen sometimes. But I had to go double check this. ABC News reported late last night, and you'll hear more about it today, I'm sure, a bombshell special counsel filing, including new allegations of Trump's, quote, increasingly desperate efforts to overturn the election. So I read a little bit, and I'm going to read just a hair bit to you, but this is the same old bullshit from Jack Smith and his left-wing group of pundits. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Also, I would be remiss, and I know I'm always a day late. I like to take a day after, like, the debates. I did a news and commentary on the debates. The last time we had Biden or the Trump Kamala Harris debate, I took a day. And I know President Trump didn't do as good as everyone thought he should have and could have against Kamala Harris. He took the bait, but I took a day and I filtered through the bullshit for you. And if you recall, and you can go back and listen at knsradionetwork.com/interviews, Trump won that debate. Yes, he took some of the bait and some of it was kind of goofy, whatever. He looked a little tired toward the end. She got under his skin, but with that cackling hyena laugh, she's going to get under your skin. So that's her strength of getting underneath the skin of President Trump. So like most of y'all, I watched the vice presidential debate Tuesday night, and I wanted to take yesterday to try to disseminate everything, see what everybody was saying, but I had my thoughts initially, and I think it's probably what most of you conservatives who are listening right now thought, is that J.D. Vance mopped the floor with Tim Walz. And we're going to talk about that. I've got a little detailed piece I put together. I stayed up late last night typing some of this up, some of my finer points. Plus, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Eli Lilly. And Lebanon Mayor Matt Gentry made a big announcement yesterday. There's going to be a $4.5 billion investment in Lebanon. They made this announcement yesterday. I think we saw it coming. There's so much news and bullshit coming from the LEAP area too in Lebanon that it's kind of hard to disseminate what is new and what they're trying to like pass off. But I'm gonna take a few minutes this morning and show you fact-driven evidence here of Eli Lilly is not this pious community goodness partner that they want you to think they are. Now, they're headquartered in Indianapolis, of course. That's their world headquarters. But they've got buildings and other, you know, places and campuses, they call them, all throughout the United States in a couple different states. And they're in trouble all the time. We don't see that because if we say that in Indiana, we're automatically on the blackball list, especially here in central Indiana. The closer you get to Indianapolis, Eli Lilly, you know, their president of operations could run for governor probably, and probably will. I shouldn't give him any ideas. But we're going to talk about how Eli Lilly is not this pious, community-minded group and organization that you think it is. And with the way they're coming in and the way they're related with the IEDC and Governor Jokum and Mayor Matt Gentry and his father, who's a Republican powerhouse, or at least was, people have pointed this out for the last year and a half. And I'll tell you, someone who's doing a good job at filtering through the bullshit is Bud Wiry. You can catch his podcast, The Shop, every Saturday morning here on KNS at 10 a.m. You can also go back and listen to the past podcasts that Bud has done. The last three or four is up at knsradionetwork.com/interviews. And Bud covers more than just the LEAP project and things. He covers a lot of stuff going on in Lebanon and Boone County, but it is hard to keep track of this. And when something pops up, Bud does a good job of explaining it and then keeping a hold of the tiger by the tail when he's got it. So I encourage you to check that out. Also, I encourage you to get online and make your own judgment. Don't go by just the press releases and crap that you hear from Fox 59 or whoever else is in bed with Eli Lilly this month or year. Also, later this hour, I'm going to squeeze in Mary Lynn Peter. We're going to talk about the Frankfurt market, and we're going to take just a few short minutes and talk about what is allowed at the Frankfurt market and the auction she's got coming up and how they're going to be inside this winter. And it's a big deal out at the Edward Jones Community Building. And so we're going to have a few minutes with Mary Lynn. So I'm going to talk about the vice presidential debate now. Then we'll have a commercial break. We'll come back with Mary Lynn. And then we're going to go right into maybe a commercial break there, too. And then we're going to go right into Eli Lilly and the truth behind Eli Lilly. Because let's not forget, the pharmaceutical companies are the real drug dealers in America. You can't tell me that there's not a cure for cancer or other things. There's no money in the cure. If they could give you a pill to get rid of diabetes or cancer, they'd be out of business within a month. So let's not fool ourselves. Sure, they bring in good paying jobs. And sure, I can't blame you for taking some of those jobs. If you're in the Lebanon area or you apply to this and you want to work for them, I take their money. I can't blame you. Personally, I wouldn't work for them. I don't care how much money they offered me. And that's saying a lot because I'm a broke radio dude, right? I paid child support for 24 years too. And I could help with promotions and their PR department, but I would not do that. It would be like selling poison, you know? So anyway, we'll talk about Eli Lilly's true colors later on this hour. So I want to go to Tuesday night's vice presidential debate. Now, I don't know how many of you have had a chance to see both of these candidates in action. If you watch the Sunday morning talk shows, the CBS Sunday morning, the political talk shows with Margaret Brennan and a couple others, George Stephanopoulos, the Sunday morning ABC Sunday, whatever they call them. Face the Nation, Meet the Depressed, whatever it's called. If you've watched some of that, you've seen J.D. Vance on a lot of those. And that is not friendly territory, friends. That is liberal, lamestream media. And they're trying to dig and dig and dig. And this guy has, I guess, polished his answers and his delivery, because J.D. Vance is the real damn deal. Now, he was the real deal before he had to go on these Sunday morning talk shows, before President Trump announced him as his VP pick. And I wasn't for sure about J.D. Vance as the VP pick, but I'm certainly sure of it now. So I want to take you back to like seventh grade, okay? Say you had like this seventh grade history teacher that you loved. He was fun, motivational, inspirational. You thought he was really smart. He was less formal than the other teachers, you know. He was kind of masculine, and he was a coach too. So you add that in, you know, a lot of extra bonus there. But he was also empathetic. He might have given you a break when you didn't hand in your homework on time. He was like a good, solid, patriotic dude, right? You remember him in seventh grade, right? Your seventh grade history teacher. Or fill in your teacher here in whatever grade. But we all had a teacher like that, a coach, someone we really looked up. It was just a little cooler than the other teachers. And then you even thought, man, if someone like this could run for office. I know I was thinking that. Well, last night, friends, we had the chance to see the high school studies history teacher destroyed by a professional politician. This wasn't as bad as Biden's debilitated performance in June, but it was close. Tim Walz was just incompetent. He was actually worse than that. He was he was a willing accessory in the resuscitation of J.D. Vance, because J.D. Vance has been getting the business from the lamestream media and any political pundit you see on TV just about. But I think Walz actually resuscitated J.D. Vance a little bit last night. So Governor Walz is from Minnesota, right? Minnesota, nice. Turned out to be Minnesota gullible, Minnesota dumb, Minnesota weak. That's how Tim Walz looked last night. Now, am I a conservative? Yes, I am. Am I a realist, though, and I look in the libertarian side of things oftentimes? Hell yes. But let's not kid ourselves. Last night it was evident, or Tuesday night, it was evident from the very beginning. Walz was rattled. Did you notice he was like talking too fast? Doing that Washington thing of like skipping over basic facts to get to the actual legislative details. That coach, that history teacher in seventh grade shouldn't do details. He should never, ever, ever, ever in any circumstances at all agreed with J.D. Vance on anything. I don't care if he agrees with him or not. You just don't do that, especially if you're not a strong candidate and a polished public speaker. So what he should have done is like force Vance to admit that he made up a story about Haitian immigrants eating pets and kept harping on it, even if it wasn't nice. Walz was just overmatched. Now, let's not kid ourselves. Vance was very good. He was empathetic, brilliantly so. He was reasonable. He talked about his family's problems. He said there were some things that Walz said that he agreed with. He was in a position to do that because he's a strong candidate. And I think the Democrats and the liberals would agree, if they're being honest with themselves, would agree that Vance not only won, but he came across as not the weirdo maybe that the lamestream media is trying to make him out to be. Walz looked weak and confused, man, a couple times especially. He didn't look like a leader, and it made me wonder even more why Kamala Harris chose this softy rather than someone who could get up there and hold their own with J.D. Vance, because J.D. Vance is very unassuming. He's polished, and this was really a chance for him to introduce himself to American voters who only knew him like through the media that they follow, which is not good news. He did not have this good, he didn't look good. He didn't have this good persona in front of the American people unless you've taken the time, like I have and like you probably have, to listen to him speak and listen and see what he's all about. He's not a whack job. So that should have been like the only objective for J.D. Vance last night, and I think he took advantage of it, was introducing himself, and I keep saying last night, Tuesday night, is to keep introducing himself to American voters who only knew him through the media they follow. All they've heard is that he's weird. They've seen memes where he called women childless cat ladies. The media has egg on its face now after his masterful debate performance. That will that debate Tuesday night could very well define his political career. It could very well go down as one of the all-time best debate performances in history, presidential or vice presidential. I'm stepping it out there. I'm saying it. So, yeah, the Democrats should probably be worried about J.D. Vance, not just for this election, but for the future of the Republican Party. I think Trump chose wisely. I really did do, and I didn't know about it at first, honestly. But after last night, I felt confident going in, but it did a lot for me. And did it move the needle? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So Vance has learned a thing or two from battling the hostile press, like I said, the Sunday morning talk shows. Walz has avoided them, and it showed Tuesday night. He did basically what Biden did. He stared with a terrified look on his face every time J.D. Vance started talking. For Vance, there isn't a nasty question that he hasn't already answered. So we didn't have to worry about that because we knew that the moderators were going to ask those nasty questions. He's already answered those at least 10 times on every talk show. So he's got that part down. I wasn't worried about that. They should have tried to trip him up in other ways, and I'm surprised they didn't. But he's a hard one to trip up. So if you've been watching his press conferences, as I have, you know he can handle just about anything. It wasn't so much that he beat the moderators up. He did. That was fun. But he directed his message straight to us and straight to those watching at home. And did he change any minds? I think he may have, especially among women voters who have only seen the media's caricature of him, right? This weird, goofy dude. Now, the phony focus groups that they aired immediately afterwards in an attempt to do damage control, basically, showed the debate made them more likely to vote for Walz. But honestly, I don't believe that. And if they're honest with themselves, I don't think they believe that either. J.D. Vance did a really good job at keeping the focus on the issues. Walz had one good moment when he mentioned the 2020 election on January 6th, and then J.D. Vance masterfully sidestepped answering the question. So going back to January 6th, I didn't think Trump was entirely out of line myself, okay? Some of what he said wasn't true, but he had a right to protest the unfair treatment of him before, during, and after his presidency, as did his supporters, us. That's what we do in America. We get pissed off and we protest. Now, they allow that only from one side, the Democrats, and that's wrong. So I could keep going on and on about January 6th, but I think Vance left it alone because he didn't want to give the media any sound bites or any energy or juice that might distract from everything else that he was saying, which was damn near perfect. And that impressed me too. He didn't take the bait. That was very smart on his part. So I'm glad that the public finally had a chance to see the real J.D. Vance, even though they all have a new favorite word to try to diminish some of his power. What is that word? What did you hear from your Democrat friends yesterday and that evening? J.D. Vance is slick. Slick. I even heard it on some of the lamestream media. Slick. Vance is just slick. Well, Vance wasn't slick. But the word went out, and the lamestream media gobbled it up. So he was informed. He wasn't slick. The slick just came. He was informed. He had a real command of the stage and the issues. Did it move the needle? You know what? I think maybe it did. He did such an effective job throughout the whole 90 minutes of showing America that he's really a nice guy. And the women, those female Republican voters who left the party and are now going to vote for Kamala Harris, if he was the problem, you know, the childless cat ladies which didn't show up, I have to imagine that those women are looking at him a little different after Tuesday night. And again, Democrats not going to admit that. But if they were honest with themselves, I think it could have changed, moved the needle a little bit. It certainly didn't hurt President Trump and the campaign. I think it helped, and I think oftentimes a vice presidential debate doesn't, or it doesn't matter. I have to imagine that they're looking at him just a little nicer. So you say the VP debates may not mean a whole lot, and maybe. But my final thought is this. The moderators were disgusting. J.D. Vance had a vision, and Tim Walz really did indeed look like the bumbling knucklehead he said he was. We're going to go ahead and take a break. I'll come back. I've got Mary Lynn Peter on line two. Want to thank our sponsors. We've got Heather's Flowers, The Oasis, Frankfurt, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction, Frankfurt, ProBike Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfurt, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting. Right back with Mary Lynn Peter next from the KNS Radio Network.
This is Jets Animal Services, here to help you with your outdoor cats. We can also help you with your inside cats. If you would like a low-cost option to fix your outdoor or indoor cats to help control the cat population, please call us for all the details on packages. Our number is 765-586-2628. We're here to help. Please note, we do not relocate or remove any outdoor cats.
This is just a reminder to support small businesses. McDonald's can get your order wrong 1,000 times and you still support it. But when a local business makes a mistake once, you criticize it for life. Walmart can raise prices overnight and you will still shop there. A small business owner gives you their price and you always want a discount or question the price. Don't be that person. Support small businesses. They keep your community strong.
Wampler Services Incorporated at 1270 Washington Avenue in Frankfort. You know about their prompt and courteous service you have come to expect in their over 50 years serving Clinton and surrounding counties. Plus, you probably know they truly are involved in all aspects of the communities they serve. Wamplers provides waste removal and recycling services for residential, commercial, and industrial needs. You name it, Wamplers will probably take it. Like junk autos, aluminum, new and used steel, zinc, die-cast, copper, brass, all scrap metals, plastics, and paper. They offer roll-offs and dumpsters too. Call them at 765-659-3721. That's 765-659-3721. Or stop by when the need arises. That's Wampler Services Incorporated at 1270 Washington Avenue in Frankfort.
Welcome back to KNS News and Commentary on this Thursday. I want to thank our sponsors, Heather's Flowers, The Oasis, Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction, Frankfort, ProBite Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch. I'm Kevin Keith. I've got Mary Lynn Peter on line three. Mary Lynn, good morning, and thanks for sitting down and talking to me again as always.
Good morning, Kevin. How have you been?
Doing very well. I've been watching you on Facebook continue to be so busy with the Frankfort market. I want to first start by talking about how you were able to get the money together to rent out the Edward Jones building at the Clinton County Fairgrounds for basically October through April. I saw this a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago, rather, and I wanted you to kind of tell us how that came to be, because that's not a free rental for you.
No, it's not a free rental. They did, their fair board, it used to be $250 per month for one day, but they lowered it to $150, which made it a bit easier, and I found out I'm getting really good at begging for money. Mm-hmm. Which I hate to do, but I got a lot of people interested, and I had several that donated, and one of them donated big time. So I've got $300 extra for next year to get going for seed money. So that helped out a lot, and so that took care of it.
How great is that to have money, have it already paid for through April, and then have at least the first month or two to get started next year. That's
first
awesome.
First couple of months is already taken care of for next year. So all I've do is beg just a little bit instead of a lot.
are we going to see any kind of signage thanking the sponsors that have?
Yes, one of the sponsors is the Design Hub, and they're the ones that make the signs for me. Mm-hmm. They'll make the banner, and I have a list of the sponsors on it, and then I'll have my little yard signs sticking out in front of the fairgrounds on both entrances to the fairgrounds, so people will know when we're doing it. Because there are different dates. Mm-hmm. There used to be like the first Saturday of every month, but some of them were already spoken for. So the first one's not till October 12th, and then we go, I think it's the second, third, or something like that. I don't have the dates in front of me right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, they'd be posted on the market page and on my timeline, and I always try to remind everyone when the next one is.
Well, the first one's going to be popping up a week from this Saturday. It's hard to believe, October 12th.
And, I know, October 12th.
We've had some cold weather this week. It got down to 42 overnight a couple nights, so it'll be nice to be in a cozy spot. Plus, we never know. At this time of year, you could have rain pop up or something, so it's nice to have that inside.
Yeah, our last outdoor market we had to cancel because the Hurricane Helene decided to make her presence known.
Yeah.
So she kind of did a poo-poo on us. But we don't have to worry about Mother Nature doing anything bad to us now. We'll be indoors. It's warm.
So we'll have
away from the elements.
Yes, exactly. So we'll have November 16th. There's also December 14th, January 4th, February 1st, March 15th, and April 5th. So it's literally 7 months you've been able to secure, and you've already got it paid and filled out and planned for. So this is at the Edward Jones building at the Clinton County Fairgrounds, which is a great venue to have things in.
It's got a restroom right there, so you don't have to go anywhere else, and got a kitchen, which I'm hoping Clarence will be my cook again.
Right.
If not, I'll get someone else to help me out. They usually volunteer, so I haven't talked to him yet. He's been busy. So
plenty of parking too, not an issue.
Yeah, plenty of parking. Yep.
So
no excuse not to come out to it.
So the big question is, Mary Lynn, it's a good sized building, but what's the chances you think this thing might really take off, especially with the Frankfurt market winter version? You may have to start cramming them in a little tight.
Well, we've had a lot of vendors show up where they line the walls, because a lot of people like to use the outlets because they do their craft while they're there.
Sure.
So they use that, and then we have them make another row. And sometimes you have two rows, and then you stick some in the middle. It works out. And there was a time when it was really busy. I mean, last year, December for Christmas, I think we got really busy. Of course, we would be. People shopping for Christmas, different craft items and stuff, which one-of-a-kind gifts are always good to have.
Yes.
So, you know, we had Santa Claus showed up, and I had a entertainer who sang some songs for the kids, and I had a guy, gosh darn, I can't think of his name. I'm so sorry. I can't think of a lot of people's names lately.
Anyway, he
told a story for Christmas for the kids. So they all sat down on the floor in front of him and let him talk and tell a story. So,
oh, that's cool. That's very festive. That's very festive.
Yeah, we try to make it festive.
Something
exciting.
So let's talk about, and we've mentioned it a few times, we've joked about it a few times, but we want, in all seriousness, we want to have a good idea of what people can bring. This is free to set up, right?
Mm-hmm. Free to set up. I've included, now that it's the Frankfurt market, we've gotten rid of the farmers because they didn't want to help.
Right. They got to show up too.
Story.
Right.
Anyway, so I've included flea market people, as long as it's not garage sale items.
Mm-hmm.
Antiques, collectibles. We had a guy set up, he had albums, all kinds of albums, rock and roll, classic albums, jazz albums. And he really did really well in selling those. I had a guy set up with I think I might have a guy set up with Hot Wheels, all kinds of Hot Wheels.
Oh, cool.
And they're all collectibles. Pottery. I've had people with pottery, Longaberger baskets, anything collectible or any antiques, whatever you want to bring, as long as you're not bringing your old couch or your old used appliance, you know, your old can opener and mixer and stuff like that. Those don't go. So, and they do pretty well on that. So hopefully being indoors, that helps bring more people out. They don't have to go out, be outside, and some of that stuff don't do well out in the elements. They would be better off in an indoor setting. So we'll see what happens.
And we do encourage people to reach out to you if they have any questions at all, because they can shoot you a picture through Messenger and you could say yay or nay. So.
Yes, definitely. I had someone message me yesterday and said they're wanting to set up and this is what they're doing and they have an idea of something. I said, yeah, that looks good. I mean, it's going to be different. It's not just a bunch of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's something like, I think hers was an idea of picture frames that she's added to the picture frames.
Yes, I've seen those. Those are cool. She's got
You know, that would be different. And, you know, it's not just, you got a bunch of picture frames for sale. That's not the case. She's added her own touch to it and artistic talent to it. So
that's a great idea too. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's exciting. I saw yesterday, I think on Facebook, you're getting ready for the auction. So tell us how this is going to work in conjunction with, is it a fundraiser for additional monies so you can get more time at the Frankfurt Market next winter?
No, this has nothing to do with Frankfurt Market. This, I don't have anything else to do. This is the Christmas tree lighting festival.
Oh, yes.
That we do, and it started, this is my third year doing it. It started out, 3 years ago now, that I got bored after I had my stroke. I wasn't working, wasn't doing anything. I was sitting around doing nothing, and I thought, okay, I've watched too many Hallmark movies. Let's do something here. Can we do a tree lighting festival like they do on all the Hallmark movies?
Yes.
And so, that's what the whole idea is. I mean, it's not city funded. It's not Main Street funded. It's all funded by donations. Mm-hmm. And last year, the first year before, I walked around the squares and visited and messaged and called and all different kinds of businesses and everything for asking for money.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a smaller one. It was down on the courthouse square. Well, now last year they were doing all these renovations, which they still are, and I was panicking. Where am I going to do my tree lighting festival? I called I talked to Paul or Joel Tatum, and he said, "Yeah, let's do it at Prairie Creek Park."
Oh, yeah.
I said, "That's perfect." So I got a tree donated. Cottrell's Tree Farm donated a tree, and it was a beautiful tree. Tree. It was perfect. And we did entertainment. We had games. We had all prizes, all kinds of things going on for kids and adults alike. And this year is the same way. Last year, I decided I don't like, although I'm good at it, I don't really like begging for money.
Right.
So let me think outside the box. I'll do an auction. And people can donate things for that. And then it's going to be a win-win. They can donate, but they can also bid on things and get things for Christmas or for themselves. So we raised almost $1,900 through the auction last year.
Wow.
So, yes. And everyone came through real well. And this year is going to be great. That's what I'm doing now. I spent all afternoon today getting things organized, taking pictures, writing down descriptions so I can post it on the on the auction site.
Yeah.
And then they bid. I'll post the picture. It'd be one post, and it'd be one picture. And then you comment under the comments is what your bid will be. Mm-hmm. And I'll start it out with a bid. Starting bid will be. So you start out with that, and then you can just, if you want to outbid someone, you just next comment. And that's how it goes. And it'll be October 12th through the 26th. We're going to do it early, so everything's not rushed.
So that'll be starting a week from Saturday, too. And you spread that out over 12, 14 days. Do you have an idea of approximately how many items you had donated? I saw the pictures.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a lot of small things, too.
There is a lot. There's a lot of things.
That's great.
I don't know right now. I have no idea, but I've got people who are still going to be bringing me things. So, and I haven't even gone around to some of the stores that always donate things. So
this is my
only day off this week. So this is what I got to do.
Wow. Well, and you're talking to me too. So I'll try to move it along here. That is awesome. That's going to really be something big, I think.
And it turned out really well last year. We're going to do a little bit different. I'm going to have all the entertainment first. I got Dance One Studio. They're going to be out there, the dancers.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do a little dancing routine for us. Of course, the Frankfurt Orchestra, he's always ready and willing to help me out on that.
Yeah.
Last year I did lip syncing. I got to try to figure out a different way of doing that. I didn't get any adults at all this year for some reason. It was a lip syncing contest, and I had great prize money. I had money, lots of money for them.
Wow, money, huh?
So it was all kids, and of course they all wanted to do it and act silly and goofy. So I got to figure out something to do with the kids so it'll keep them from being in the adult thing. So still got to figure that one out. But they had fun. There's games. I get a game guy from Lafayette. He has the outdoor game set up, the big blow up things.
Yeah.
I usually have Christmas stand ups, that picture stand ups like. Just sit around and you can get your picture taken next to it.
Take
and
your selfie.
Last year, the best one was Ralphie in his pink Easter bunny suit. So everyone was getting their picture taken next to him.
That's great. Well, that sounds fun.
Do we have food trucks? I had two food trucks. I had Big Country Barbecue and I had Brandon's Burger set up. So
do we have a date for that yet?
It is the first Saturday in December, right after the parade, December 7th.
Okay.
So the parade starts at 3, and then we'll start everything about 4. And we'll do all the entertainment and stuff first, because last year we did the tree lighting first, and everyone left.
Yeah.
There wasn't hardly anyone here for the entertainment. So we're going to do the entertainment first.
Yeah.
Then we'll do the tree lighting when it gets a little bit darker.
Well, Mary Lynn, thank you on behalf of the whole entire community of Frankfort and Clinton County. That's pretty awesome. I think that's going to be something that just grows each year. I get excited to hear you talking about it.
Yeah, I hope so. It's fun to do, and you know, I don't get paid to do it, but I like doing it. So, you know, if anyone wants to help donate, I may need volunteers during the festival, you know, to help do things. And, you know, last year I had some craft things brought out. And, you know, if they want to help do the crafts, or they just want to hand them out to the kids, or, you know, just be around. I know the fun group will probably pass out the treats that I buy, mm-hmm. Little treat bags, and they'll be out dressed in their characters and passing out the treats. And that, they've done that in the last couple of years, too. So hopefully they'll do it again this year.
Well, that sounds like a great time, and again, very festive, and it'll be the right time of the year. And I love the idea of the evening right after the parade and doing the entertainment and just make a family night of it.
Make a whole deal thing, and I think it helps the merchants downtown too. And the only thing, I'm trying to go off a Hallmark movie, so the only thing I need is somebody that's already here, and then someone has to get transferred there to do something, and then they meet up and they fall in love
In love on the Frankfurt Square. That's right. Well, we've got a couple months, and there's some creative people at the Red Barn Theater, so we might be able to get something. You never know. Well,
what would be fun is to have a skit like that, you know, going around and see if anyone notices, you know, what's going on. If it's a real life thing, or is it all put on? That'd be great.
We might have stumbled on for something else for you to do there, Mary Lynn.
I know. Well, I've already got something else in the works too that I'm talking to Chris Ward about. So.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you know more about that.
Very good. Well, that makes me happy. And again, appreciate everything you've done for the community, not only this, but everything else. And so I guess we'll be looking for the auction to start a week from Saturday, and we'll see you at the first Frankfort Market at the Edward Jones Building also a week from Saturday, October 12th.
Yep. 9 to 1. Yeah, I think I'll have the auction start about 10 in the morning or something like that. It'll be online, so you don't have to be anywhere, just in your pajamas on. Well, no, you have to be at the Frankfort Market first, and then you can get online.
Yes, of course. Yes, right. All right. Well, Mary Lynn, thanks as always. I appreciate you sitting down with me.
No problem. Oh, thank you.
What's up, everybody? It's your host, Justina.
And I'm Taryn.
Of Listen Lafayette Live on KNS Radio Network. Big thank you to Kevin to make this podcast and our recovery initiatives possible. We couldn't do it without you.
Join us every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. as we discuss a number of things local to Lafayette. We will have exclusive giveaways relatable to you with a special focus on our addiction and recovery community.
You're only going
to
get that live, so make sure you tune in with us every Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on KNSRadioNetwork.com.
Don't forget to tune in every Saturday morning for Listen Lafayette at 10:30.
Listen Lafayette, it's not goodbye. See you later.
When you're a small business, you can't afford to take things for granted. The team at the Oasis knows this and works hard to provide excellent food in a super clean atmosphere. Whatever you order from the menu, rest assured it's cooked to order. The Oasis has become known for their hand-cut pork tenderloin sandwiches, fresh 6-ounce smash burgers, homemade coney sauce with a variety of specialty franks, including the Chicago and Cincinnati on a quarter-pound Nathan's beef frank. Also, hand-rolled mozzarella sticks, piping hot crinkle-cut fries, and oh yeah, deep-fried Oreos and hand-dipped ice cream, plus so much more, including XXX root beer. Come taste how the Oasis works hard to win over your taste buds in a clean, cozy atmosphere. Sure, there's other places you could go to eat. The bottom line is, the Oasis Frankfort can't afford to not be awesome. Come find out why the Oasis Frankfort is a Gem City favorite. You can find them just a fine tune of your radio dial south of Frankfort at 2520 State Road 39. Currently open 11 to 8, Wednesday through Saturday.
Thanks to all of these amazing partners that help bring you the KNS Radio Network. Heather's Flowers in Frankfort, the Oasis Frankfort, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gem City Junction, Frankfort, ProByte Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting, Antioch. Thanks to our amazing partners from the KNS Radio Network. Welcome back to the KNS News and Commentary on this Thursday. I'm Kevin Keith. Want to thank our community-minded partners here for the KNS Radio Network, Marchand's Window Tinting, Live for Life Indiana, Lebanon, Pizza Hut of Frankfort, ProByte Computers, Gem City Junction, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry. Good morning, Granny. Wampler Services Incorporated, the Oasis Frankfort, and Heather's Flowers. Full hour for you this morning. Busy morning here at the KNS Radio Network. Just a reminder, tomorrow I'll have the one and only Bill Gantt going to be joining me back here in the official air chair. It's been a couple weeks since we've had Bill. Try to have him on every Friday morning as well, in perpetuity, forever and ever. Always enjoy it, Bill. We go back a couple years, and I think a lot of you enjoyed Bill too. I've heard about it before we brought him back on. I tried to get him back in some capacity, but he's a busy guy too. He's got a lot of he's kind of an entrepreneur guy too, so he's got things going on as well. And I'm just happy to be able to grab him for a half hour, 45 minutes every Friday morning. So last but not least, this morning I wanted to talk a little bit about Eli Lilly and, again, how they are not this pious, community-minded partner that they want you to think, okay? They are based out of Indianapolis. They're a U.S. drug maker. Lebanon Mayor Matt Gentry, or as he's been called, Mouthy Matt, I think, he made this announcement yesterday on his Facebook page, of course, after they came out with their own press release. Another monumental day in Lebanon's history. Lilly announced their plans to invest another $4.5 billion in Lebanon to support their research and manufacturing of clinical trials medicine. This brings Lilly's total investment in Lebanon to over $13 billion. Now, he shared a link from Fox 59. I laughed at it. Bud Wiry had shared it, I think, and laughed as well. And Bud had a good point. He said, I can't wait to see how many comments Matt hides on this one. And as of 8 o'clock this morning, it was like 23 comments have been hidden that I was aware of from Matt Gentry, the mayor of Lebanon. Now, U.S. drug maker Eli Lilly announced the $4.5 billion to create a new center in Indiana that's going to focus on developing new ways to manufacture its drugs and increasing production of experimental medicines used in clinical studies. Now, again, listen to what I said. This is going to focus on developing new ways to manufacture drugs. So this is going to be cutting-edge drug dealing. Eli Lilly has brought, what did Matt say, Matt Gentry, Lebanon mayor, $13 million or something like that, $13 billion. Have you seen any of that? Have we seen a whole lot? How has that helped the Boone County community? Because billions, we should be seeing something in return already. We're talking billions of dollars. But what do you see? I don't see him contributing squat. I see him coming in and being on the coattails of the IEDC and Governor Jokum and all these people in bed together, and they just keep ramrodding this down everyone's throats. The LEAP project, is it paused? I don't know. It depends on who you talk to. I think at this point, they're throwing so much money and power at it. The people of Lebanon and who are concerned up and down I-65 between Lebanon and Lafayette, myself included, we're just trying to keep up and make sure they don't steal the water from Lafayette, from the Wabash River. I know Bud Wiry's keeping a close eye on him with going out in the county and making these forced hookups with American Water. This is a very complex set of stories that are all grouped together. And then they throw in this $4.5 billion, oh, by the way, gonna go ahead and reinvest, and continue to invest. So again, this is some cutting-edge drug dealing. Lilly and their Danish rival, Novo Nordisk, are market leaders for a class of weight loss treatments known as, now this is going to be some big words here, call it wrong, call it strong, okay? I'm not for sure if I pronounce it correctly. I'll let you know, though. These are treatments known as GLP-1 agonists, which work by suppressing appetite. Some analysts expect this market will reach $150 billion by the early 2030s. Do some people need help on suppressing appetite? Yes. Are some people just fat and eat too much and can't control themselves? Hell yes. We all know people like that. They've got Zepbound and Mounjaro. They've been launched in the U.S. Lilly has several other obesity and neurological disease drugs in development. So they're not trying to cure cancer. They're not trying to help with diabetes. They're not trying to come up with a cheaper way to get insulin for diabetics. They're coming up with drugs so you can eat more Swiss freaking cake rolls and not have to get up off the couch and exercise or have any kind of cardio workout at all, just so you can keep getting fat and take a pill which will help you from getting fat. So they've invested billions of dollars to increase production of tirzepatide, which is the active ingredient in these obesity drugs. As the demand for these drugs has outpaced supply for most of this year. That means that everything they think it's going to do when they project out, it's done better than that. So, in the obesity pipeline, again, this building that Eli Lilly's building and the $4.5 billion of investment is to help fat people from becoming fatter and to help them lose weight. They're not doing anything that's going to help the quality of life. This is just a continued way to make us even lazier Americans where we don't even have to get up off the couch. Well, we do to get the Swiss cake rolls, but then we take a pill from Eli Lilly and we sit back down and eat a whole box, maybe two, if the Dollar General had them on sale. And then you get to continue to eat anything you want. So that's what they're working on. They're not working on trying to make insulin a little cheaper for people who suffer from diabetes. They're not trying to work on something that would help cancer patients. They're working on fat drugs so we can all be lazier and fatter. Literally, this is what it is. So the Lilly CEO, David Ricks, said in an interview with CNBC Wednesday that the site could increase the company's output by 400%. Lilly said new technologies developed at the Medicine Foundry, they're calling it, boy, isn't that a clever name, will be transferred to its other manufacturing sites for full-scale production. So we're going to help fat people all over the United States stay fat and get fatter. Now, some people legitimately take some of these drugs for the right reasons, okay? Maybe it's a thyroid problem, maybe it's something else. But again, look at where Lilly is putting their money. You put your money where your mouth is, right? No pun intended there. But that's what they're doing. Look at where they're putting their money. They're putting it on a drug, and they're spending billions of dollars on engineers, 400 full-time jobs, that's going to enable you to eat whatever you want and not gain weight. That's like one of the seven deadly sins or something. What the hell? This is like the end of the world, man. So again, the medicine foundry is what they're calling it. Scientists and operations personnel and lab technicians located in Lebanon, Indiana, and is expected to open in late 2027. So David Ricks, the CEO, said that the facility is in addition to its previous manufacturing commitments in Lebanon that include a $5.3 billion investment to manufacture active pharmaceutical ingredients for its latest diabetes and obesity medicines. See, it keeps going back to this. Again, no money in the cure. These are the real drug dealers in America. Lilly's total capital commitment in the U.S. is now over $23 billion in the United States since 2020, in just the last 4 years. So you think there's a little money in this? You think they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart? You think they're coming into Lebanon and sponsoring Little League baseball teams? Hell no! So I wanted to bring a few things to light because all we hear is the good about Eli Lilly because they're based here in Indianapolis or in Indianapolis in central Indiana. And I want to go on the record and tell everyone that I am not thinking about committing suicide. I'm not having suicidal thoughts. I'm in a very good place in my life. So if something happens, I didn't do it to myself. Okay. Don't let me get Epstein'd or Hillary'd and not do something about it. So here's some things that Lilly has had to fight in the past because it's not all rainbows and roses here, friends. Poor quality control practices and malfunctioning equipment were among the 8 separate violations that government inspectors recently found at an Eli Lilly manufacturing facility in New Jersey. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration inspection in July at Lilly's Branchburg, New Jersey plant detected 8 separate deficiencies. The inspection report showed problems in tracking manufacturing process and quality controls, as well as lapses in its calibration of equipment and failure to properly maintain facilities and equipment. The drug was approved for weight loss under the name Zepbound, and this was at their Tirzepatide manufacturing facility in New Jersey. So Zepbound is what they call it. That's the brand name. Lilly said in a statement that Tirzepatide, the active ingredient in Mounjaro and Zepbound, was not manufactured at the Branchburg plant. But who gives a shit? That really doesn't have anything to do with anything. Company officials admitted that FDA inspectors made some, quote, observations that were in most cases either addressed during the inspection or already in progress as program improvements, unquote. However, this situation does not affect the quality, safety, or supply of any current or planned Lilly products in the marketplace, the company said. Of course they did. At least one observer disagreed. They said it's like whack-a-mole at this point. The company seems to address one set of problems, only for another serious concern to pop up. That's according to Stephen Lin, a former head of the FDA's Office of Manufacturing and Product Quality. Yeah, not Kevin Keith. This dude works for the FDA. So this is going back a few years, but it just goes to show how many years Eli Lilly has put on this facade of being this great person that, or this great company that's trying to help you with all these drugs, 24-hour drugs, we deliver drugs, you have drugs. Going back to 1999, Eli Lilly launched an aggressive Viva Zyprexa campaign to promote its powerful new antipsychotic drug. The campaign was commercially successful as Zyprexa. The sales soon eclipsed $20 billion. But according to federal and state authorities, the campaign had a dark side. The company allegedly failed to disclose the risk of serious side effects such as dementia. The company also didn't tell customers that 16% of clinical trial participants gained a staggering 60 pounds each. 60, not 16. In the early 2000s, the company paid nearly $1 billion, a billion, to settle 20,000 civil lawsuits. That sum was just the beginning. First, the Attorney Generals of Vermont and Illinois issued civil investigative demands that ordered the company to hand over internal documents relating to the marketing of this Zyprexa. The states investigated claims that the company concealed data that show serious risk of side effects, including weight gain, hyperglycemia, and diabetes. Holy shit! Then federal investigators launched a probe into Eli Lilly's illegal off-label Zyprexa promotion. Doctors may prescribe drugs for any purpose. However, drug companies may not market drugs for unapproved purposes or otherwise promote such use. The hits continued as both California and Florida sought to recover money spent on Zyprexa by their Medicaid programs. In the end, the company paid a $1.4 billion fine. Off-label promotion of pharmaceutical drugs is a serious crime because it undermines the FDA's role in protecting the American public by determining that a drug is safe and effective for a particular use before it's marketed, said Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Division, Gregory Katsas. Again, no shit. So, none of the $1.4 billion went to Zyprexa victims, though. Only the money in a civil action compensates victims. Now, it's hard to estimate the medical and psychological impact of a defective drug like Zyprexa, but if we're talking dementia and gaining 60 pounds, that's pretty bad. Medically, the victims usually end up in worse physical shape than they were in before. There's no going back to like how it was before you started taking this drugs. Even if they escape serious injury at the time, doctors must closely monitor their health for the rest of their lives. The close monitoring isn't free either. So a lot of victims felt betrayed when a drug that they were told was safe and effective is revealed to be unsafe and ineffective. The Zyprexa problem, let's call it a debacle, clearly illustrated both kinds of damage. The saga, when including the latest allegations, also reflects two kinds of defective drug legal actions. You have the design defect, which pharmaceutical companies are in an ongoing arms race. They each want to make the most powerful medicines. Powerful drugs have powerful side effects, as we've mentioned before. And then you have the manufacturing defect, which is manufacturing facilities in different states and maybe even different countries making separate components. All these components don't always work together the way they should. Furthermore, a seemingly minor isolated issue at one facility can corrupt the whole damn batch. So a few other things that Eli Lilly's went through over the past 10 years, they faced a number of ethical issues and controversies as well, including animal testing. Remember this, back in 2008, the company had a history of animal testing, including the use of thousands of animals in tests dating back to 2000. And PETA got involved in 2008. And I don't know if you want to go Google that one or not, but boy, that's interesting. Also accused of misleading drug promotion. Eli Lilly has promoted drugs with false claims, such as Avista, which was promoted as reducing the risk of breast cancer. That's a pretty bold statement there. A pretty bold claim. Also, side effects. Some of Eli Lilly's drugs have been linked to serious side effects. As we mentioned, Zyprexa, linked to an increased risk of diabetes, dementia, and gaining 60 freaking pounds, man. The Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, they've been slapped with that a few times. A couple of their subsidiaries have been accused of making improper payments to win business in countries such as Russia and China. How about some environmental issues? The company plant in Indianapolis accused of releasing dangerous chemicals into the air. How about the terzepatide safety issues? They said that the compounded drugs advertised as terzepatide have safety, sterility, and efficacy problems. There was a pain medication years ago called Darvon, an opioid medication, controversial for its addictive nature. And Eli Lilly didn't tell anyone. They escaped with the Darvon and was able to get out before the opioid problem became what it is in today's American society. They just barely slipped under the radar. And then you have Prozac, of course. Their antidepressant. It's been linked to an increased likelihood of self-harm. It was also the reason, the main reason, for the first ever in our recent modern times, going back to 1986, of an employee of a business in Louisville, Kentucky, shot up his workplace, killing several people. Standard Gravure was the name of that. I don't have it in front of me, but that's where we first heard about Prozac. So if you want to, I guess, celebrate yesterday or today with Eli Lilly bringing $4.5 billion into our community and Matt Gentry, the Lebanon mayor, getting on Facebook and telling us how great it is and how great they are in our community, in our neck of the woods, in central Indiana. But again, they're not the be-all, end-all. And they have had a lot of issues in the past. Some of this, not as serious as the others, but some of it, some of the most serious stuff you will ever hear, especially when you're dealing with people's lives. And then sometimes the cover-up is worse than the lie, right? And then sometimes the money doesn't even go in these class action lawsuits to people who suffer and have these problems for the rest of their lives. And it's their health insurance that's taking care of it, which we're paying for when it becomes Medicaid and Medicare. It's not Eli Lilly helping monitor that for the rest of their lives. So Eli Lilly's going to continue to be a force in central Indiana. I firmly believe one year we will change the name of the state of Indiana to just the state of Eli Lilly, because they are so big. They're becoming so big. Someone needs to step in with the Federal Trade Commission or something and look at the market being cornered by one or two of these pharmaceutical companies, because their rival is based out of Poland, Novo Nordisk. So, I mean, they're kind of the only game, quote unquote, in town. And unfortunately, it's in our town of Lebanon. So that's my opinion. If you've got an opinion on this or anything else you've heard us talk about here at KNS Radio, we would love to hear from you. You can hit me up on Facebook, on Messenger. If you've got my personal cell, shoot me a text. Keep it nice or don't keep it nice. That's okay. I'm a big boy. I can take it. Or you can send me an email anytime, all the time, at kevin@knsradionetwork.com. That'll wrap up the program today. Again, Bill Gitt going to join me tomorrow morning here at KNS. Want to thank our sponsors, Heather's Flowers, The Oasis Frankfurt, Wampler Services Incorporated, Granny's Goodies in Mulberry, Gym City Junction Frankfurt, ProBite Computers, Pizza Hut of Frankfurt, Live for Life Indiana Lebanon, and Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch. I'm Kevin Keith. Have a great Thursday from the KNS Radio Network.